members of the National Council of Provinces, Honorable Sinclair, Honorable Halley, Honorable Camere, Staff of Parliament, Director General, and his, the other officials from Department of Mineral Resources. Welcome to the meeting of the Select Committee on Economic Development, Mineral Resources and Energy. First of all, our apology for the venue, but all the venues in Parliament is booked, also packed up. There's so much going on, there's ad hoc committees, there's public protector, auditor general, and all committees in Parliament are having their meetings. You know, elections, director general is another animal that you deal with. And I'm not saying that every department does not respond. But now all of a sudden all departments and all parastatals are responding to requests. They are even phoning you to say, when can I come and brief? When can I come and brief? At that time during the term, there was always an excuse from them that, no, we are this, we are doing that, we are too busy with that, we are busy with that. But now DGs, they invite you. When can we come and brief? When, Chair, when can we come and brief? When can we come and brief? I thank you very much, Director General, for availing the department to come and brief the Select Committee today on the annual report. And just an apology for some members that's not here. The opposition are going through the interviews to come back next year. So apology for them. And also the minister has forwarded an apology. I think she's with the president, she said, today. Am I right, DG?
Yeah.
Yeah. So members, the minister would have loved to be here, but unfortunately the higher office has called. Is that fine on the Honourable Dihari? We accept that apology. Okay. Thank you. The ANC is in majority, and the member from Pope will also agree that we accept your apology. The minister is with the president. They're opening their mind in the Pope. So the high is called, so we accept that apology. That's fine with you? Fine.
Yeah, I'm the chairperson.
No, it comes from a conference on Friday.
Oh, but that was the court, was it?
No, that's their conference.
Oh, so he agreed. Look, Shiloba is not going.
No.
But okay, that is the politics. Can we just switch off all cell phones and put it on silent mode or meeting mode? Please, or as someone has said one day in a conference, kill all cell phones. So we are here, DG, to listen to you, and some of our members are still on their way. They've just been tied up or held up. You know, some people think that to live in the Free State and to live in the Western Cape is too difficult. You know, even in Pretoria, you don't experience much traffic. Pretoria only experiences traffic in the CBD. Yeah, in the Western Cape, you experience traffic sounds since you left home up until you get to the CBD. There's traffic. One member is coming from Gauteng, from Free State, the other one is coming from Mpumalanga. It takes them 5 minutes from Free State to wherever they want to go from the house. Yeah, in the Western Cape, it takes an hour. It takes an hour. But we will proceed, DG. We're not going to wait. We will proceed, and if there is anything else, they will get us along the way. Because I believe you are going back when? Thursday? To Pretoria? Today? Some of us today. Now, of course, I'm worried. I was saying to the minister the other day that the department is more in Cape Town than in Pretoria, so I wonder when are they working? I was asking her, when is your department working, because there are more in Cape Town than in Pretoria. And I said to her, they are not with us. They are not with the select committee, so where are they? Ever I turn around the corner in Parliament, I see them. When I turn around that side, I see them. She also said to me, Jesus is worried about this affairs, that you are more in Cape Town than in Pretoria. But be that as it may, everybody knows each other, I think, around the table. We've got a Kamele also here with a Kamele. Madam Kamele. So we're not going into the clan, into the tribal names and all that. DG, over to you.
Honorable Chairman, honorable member, the department once again appreciates the opportunity to appear before this committee to present the annual report for the 21st-2021 financial year. We are presenting this annual report at a time when the mining industry is facing unprecedented challenges through the dawn of the democratic extension. This could be a protected, tough global economic environment as well as industrial relations challenges. Notwithstanding the challenges faced by the industry as a result of the global financial crisis and domestic concerns, the industry still remains the mainstay and one of the most important economic sector of South Africa. It continues to contribute significantly in the economic development of this country. The transformation of the industry through the introduction of a progressive legislation framework, more particularly the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act and the Mine Health and Safety Act, has resulted in the industry experiencing significant growth and improved health and safety environment. The following milestones were achieved. Mining contribution to GDP has grown from 197 billion in 2009 to 263 billion in 2020. This represents a percentage basis from 9% to 9.7%. Employment in the sector increased from 492,000 in 2009 to 525,000 in 2012. The transformation of the industry has resulted in increased employment of women in the sector. The number of women employed in the industry almost doubled from 24,600 in 2007 to 48,480 in 2012, representing about 9% of the workforce in the sector. The sector's contribution to the country's export income increased from 177 billion in 2009 to 269 billion in 2010. Fixed capital formation in the mining sector grew from 64 billion in 2009 to 74.7 billion in 2012. With regards to social and labor plan projects, the department continued to facilitate the implementation of a number of projects across the country in various programs. On mine health and safety, there has been a reduction in fatality from 172 in 2008 to 112 during 2012. This is largely attributed to the intensified enforcement measures by the department. The number of mines have also increased, honorable members, from 993 in 2004 to 1,500 in 2009. 1,600. The personal commitment has remained the largest employer, contributing 8% to the total mining industry workforce, followed by gold and coal sector at 8% and 15% respectively. We are confident about the future of the mining sector and in South Africa. The global growth outlook presents significant upward potential, with the USA and the European economies emerging out of the current economic crisis, while the new engines of global economic growth, that is, the developing countries, are expected to see economic. This sign provides at least a positive outlook for the South African mining industry, especially the platinum sector, which has been creating depression. Given the inherent cyclical nature of the year, we anticipate a better economic environment. This will contribute towards the acceleration of the business growth of the industry and job creation consistent with the objectives of the national development plan. With regard to the financial and non-financial performance of the department, the department achieved 79% of the target spread for the year under review, which is an improvement from the previous year's performance of 72%. We will continue to try to ensure that we accurately achieve all our plans. In terms of expenditure, the department has spent 99.4% of the allocated budget for the 2012-2013 financial year. In our presentation, we have spent more on some of the corrective action measures that have been put in place to address challenges experienced and raised by the Auditor General, which are largely related to the one of the key interventions which we have identified is to align the capacity of the department, is to ensure that the capacity of the department is aligned to match the significant growth of the industry. This will also assist the department in its drive to monitor compliance and enforce legal provisions where necessary. Today's presentation will cover the following. We look at the vision and the mission of the department, the annual financial statement, and branch performing information. The slide shows the two visions of the department. We have a very important department vision, which says global competitive sustainable and meaningful transform mining and mineral. The 2025 vision is a leader in the transformation of South Africa's economic growth and sustainable development by 2025. We are currently reviewing this vision to ensure that it is in line with the national development plan. Next year to be 2026 vision. The mission, which is very critical, actually outlines key activities of the department, and it reads as follows: promote and regulate the mineral and mining sector for transformation, growth, development, and ensure all of it can derive sustainability from the country's mineral. It funds the mandate of this department, and those two ways, to promote and regulate, are key. Honorable Chair, honorable members, I will allow the CFO to take us through the annual financial.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable gentlemen, honorable members. in relation to overall financial performance of the department, the DG has already outlined that the department managed to spend 99.4% of the budget. With the allocated budget of 1.176 billion, the department managed to spend 1.173 billion. And the expenditure is in line with the target, performance target that has been set for the department. In relation to conservation of employees, the department managed to spend 99.6% of the budget, which is 395.914 billion. In relation to the goods and services budget, the department managed to spend also 99.9%, which is 237.8 million of the allocated budget of 238. With the transfers to entities, we do transfer to our entities, the department managed to transfer all the money that was allocated to them, and it was also spent from their side. It was just not a fiscal dance. In relation to capital assets, the department also managed to spend 24.556 million that was allocated to capital assets. As DG has indicated, we had challenges in relation to revenue management, disclosure of the revenue due to the department. And with that, we have developed an action plan, and we are busy implementing an action plan to address all the root causes relating to the Auditor General. We engaged with the Auditor General, and we agreed on activities that can be implemented to resolve the matter that has been raised. The next slide, Chairperson, is just an indication of the expenditure per economic classification, as I've already indicated. The conservation of employees forms almost 34% of the budget of the department. And goods and services, a small portion at around 90%, and the bigger portion transfers and subsidies at around 45% of the budget. And all the money is spent. The next slide just shows how, where the transfer payment to entities were made. It was made to Mine Health and Safety Contract, to South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, and Council for Geoscience was allocated the bigger portion of 223 million, and Council for Mineral Technology Research for 253. Of the amount that has been transferred, the 454.2 million of it is in relation to their mandate in terms of the establishing act, the support that they get from the department. And around 18.3 million was used to do research to prevent water ingress of water into underground. And this is because of the technical expertise that they got within the entity. And 50 million of it was transferred to do mine rehabilitation projects. In terms of the expenditure of the program, the department programs are divided into four, and the mineral policy and promotion is where also the transfer money is. So they don't have that big budget, just sitting on with them mostly the entity. And all the programs manage to spend their budget that has been allocated to them. The next slide is just to show the financial position of the department. The financial position of the department in terms of the funding framework looks healthy. The current assets has reduced by 18 million, and this is mainly due to the reduction in the bank balance. Because we spend more, we managed to send back everything to Treasury. In terms of the current liabilities, there's a reduction also of 18 million, and this decrease is mainly due to the funds that needed to be surrendered to the National Treasury, and also that there were no transactions that were not yet paid at year end. So this represents the financial position and the financial performance of the department. And when they present that, you will understand and see what has been achieved in the money that has been spent.
Okay. The activities of the department are organized in the following four components. The first one is administration, which should include financial administration and also corporate administration. Program two is the promotion of mind health and safety. Program three is the mineral regulation. Program four is the mineral policy. Achievement and challenges in correct situations are outlined from page 13 to 8 of the final
This is in relation to financial administration plan, which is combined with operative purpose. Of the branch or the administrative program is to provide strategic and administrative support services to ministry and the department of life. In terms of the key achievements, we have set on our goals that we need to improve service delivery and we need to improve the turnaround time of processing transactions because it has got an impact on service delivery. And in that, we then developed a customer satisfaction survey internally to say how are we doing as a branch in terms of service delivery, how are we doing in terms of the turnaround time. We managed to achieve a customer satisfaction index of 3.35, which is up over 5, so it's in the middle ground. In terms of the defined turnaround time, we had defined, we managed to achieve 72 of the defined turnaround cycle during the year analysis. We had also said that we need to provide information that is reliable and in a timely manner. We then developed a calendar which shows what needs to be reported on when. And in that regard, we managed to submit all the reports within the prescribed time frame. We still have challenges within the financial administration branch. And that is the challenge to ensure that our stakeholders are empowered and they know the policies, the laws and regulations that govern financial management. As a department, we have committed ourselves to zero level of irregular expenditure. We still incurred some irregular expenditure during the year under review, and that's the challenge that we are going to tackle going forward. Improve that. In relation to the payment of 30 days, we are targeting to have all our invoices, 100% of the invoices paid within 30 days. We still have challenges in that area. We managed to achieve 94.7% of the invoices that were paid within 30 days. We still have challenges around the filling of vacancies. There were key senior management posts that became vacant during the year under review, and especially in the financial management as well. So in order to correct that, we said we are going to continue to raise awareness on the internal control processes to improve compliance with laws and regulations, because we believe that if people know what systems are available, they will be able to comply. And for those that really not comply with the system that has been set, we are imposing sanctions on transgression with the process, and will continue to do so in the near future. With filling of vacancies, during the year under review, the CFO post was vacant, and some of the financial management positions were vacant. So we, at least in the current year, we managed to fill the post of the CFO, and we'll make sure that other remaining posts are filled and are being filled. So those are the achievements, the challenges that the financial administration branch has at stake, and we are hoping that the action plan that is put in place will be able to address some of those challenges.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member, will then move on to item 1, 2, corporate services. DDG corporate services will prevent inspection.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Honorable Members. Just as a reminder again, the purpose of corporate services branch is to provide strategic and administrative support to the industry and the department. The key achievements of corporate services in the last year was to embed the communicated EMR programs and policies well in terms of the website and intranet, which was updated in a timely manner and was done and is current as we speak. Successful media briefings were held, public participation engagement and positive and balanced newsletters were published and broadcast. We've managed to have the minister approve the internal communication strategy that was prepared the previous year ago. Contributing to skills development, we held 16 mining career awareness initiatives which were held for communities and universities. Those that were held for communities were held in the rural areas and mainly Limpopo and KZN, and the rest were done at universities. We've allocated or rather offered 58 bursaries in 2011-12 to study towards mining related qualifications. And then it's sustained during this reporting period. We still have students completing the studies now through those bursaries that were offered. Our key achievements, again, we developed and reviewed internal processes, guidelines, and policies. We reviewed 17 policies and mapped 19 business processes. If you remember, we were DME before, where we had policies as minerals and energy, but we've had to review some of the policies for minerals only. Some of the other key achievements to ensure compliance with HR legislation, for instance, financial disclosures were submitted within the prescribed time frame. We ensured implementation of the national vetting strategy where all new employees were screened, as well as service providers. And target for vetting was our target for vetting those was exceeded. The key challenge is still prevailing with regards to contribution to skills development, where we have prospective vessel holders who were turned down by prospective funders for some, among other things, they did not meet the entrance requirements. So we felt that maybe, you know, before we allow bursars to apply directly, we should actually take them through the application process to assist them in getting those bursaries and not have them turned down because of just not following the process as such. Attract, develop and retain skills, the percentage reduction in staff turnover. Target was not achieved due to retirements, transfers and promotions to other departments and organizations. And these are the areas where really we do not have control over. We also have a problem of retaining and attracting staff, particularly in with mine health and safety for inspectors, where we have a very, very huge challenge, especially of attracting those inspectors. Ensure compliance with HR legislation. Performance agreements that were submitted were not submitted within the prescribed time frame, and we are hoping to correct that in this coming year. Corrective measures, again, with regards to attraction and development and retention of skills. We are currently finalizing the review of the department retention strategy in order to deal with the high turnover rate. and the department has also embarked on a learner inspector program where 50 graduates will be placed at different mines to undergo experiential training which will result in fully qualified inspectors. We also are going to look into the contribution of skills development, the increase of awareness in relation to processes to be followed by bursary applicants, as I said, alluded to earlier. Improved turnaround times, which is now deadlines, meeting deadlines. The department will strive hard to meet deadlines of submissions of performance agreements and financial disclosure forms. We're also hoping to improve turnaround times in filling vacant posts, as we are aware. Vacant posts are supposed to be filled within 6 months, but we strive to fill them within 4 months.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeji. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member, colleagues. The Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate mandate and the mission. The purpose of the inspectorate is to execute the department's mandate to safeguard health and safety of mine employees and people affected by mining activities. The objective of the branch is to strive towards a safe and healthy mining industry. This is to be achieved by reducing mining-related deaths, injuries, and ill health through the formulation of national policy and legislation, the provision of advice, and the application of systems that monitor and enforce compliance with law in the mining sector. The key achievements in the branch during the financial year 2013, the branch managed to have an improvement of about 9% in all fatalities. The fatalities that were recorded in 2011 were 123 versus 112 that reported in 2012. This is the lowest fatalities ever reported in the mining industry. The platinum and the coal sector have for the first time in 2 years recorded a reduction in fatality of 24% and 8% respectively. Again, the fall of ground, which is the number one killer in the mining industry, we have seen a reduction of about 35%, where about 40 fatalities were reported in 2011 versus to 26 fatalities that were reported in 2012. The coal sector went for the first time ever for more than 12 months without a fall of ground fatality during that financial year. The transport and mining fatalities also decreased by 24% from 38 in 2011 to 29 during 2012. Again, on the issues of health, which normally will include silicosis, noise-induced hearing loss, as well as tuberculosis, we have seen a reduction of about 7% in all occupational diseases that were reported by the mine. And our proactive measure, which is audit and inspection, we've managed to exceed our target by 6% and 8% respectively. In terms of the internal and development of and review of internal processes, the branch has reviewed the South African Mine Reportable Accident Statistical System, codebook, and we have also managed to review the guideline for mining within 100 meters of structure, building, which may require protection. This is basically as a result of mines starting to be established in the vicinity where the community stays. And we have also reviewed regulations on conveyor belts accompanied by a conveyor belt guideline, and we also managed to review a fatal ruling procedure. In terms of human resource development, we had 14 assistant inspectors that were undergoing inspector training at various Richmond offices, 5 learners, inspectors who have been recruited as bursary holders, have been placed at mines for experiential training, and 71 officials attended technical and administrative courses. On the issues of annual medical reports, which is occupational diseases that were reported by mines between 2010 and 2012, we have seen that in terms of the silicosis, as well as TB and noise-induced, which are the most diseases that we normally encounter in the mining industry, we have seen that between 2010 and 2011, we've seen a reduction of about 322 silicosis cases that were reported. And then in the case of TB, we've seen a reduction of about 1,614 of cases that were reported. And then in the case of noise-induced hearing loss, we've seen a decrease of about 200 between 2010 and 2011. And in overall, we have seen that in terms of all the diseases reported, the total of 8,170 in 2010 was reduced to 6,002 in 2012, which is something that we work in very hard, because we believe that diseases need to work upon. In terms of the fatality and injury rate per million hours worked in the sector, you will see on the slide there, we've tried to just to take honorable members on this fatality rate and injury. Starting with the injury rates on the red line, you will see that when we started in 2003, some 10 years ago, we were at about 5.26 of the rates of injuries that were reported per million hours worked, and that has decreased to about 2.49 in 2012. This is indicative of a 53% reduction in terms of injury rates that have been reported in the past 10 years in our mining industry. The green line represents the fatality rate, which around 2003 was at 0.34, and that has reduced to about 0.09 in 2012, which represents a 73% improvement in terms of the fatality rate in the mining industry. In terms of the occupational safety, which is the fatalities that were reported between January and the 31st of December 2011, we have seen that the gold sector, unfortunately, in that case, we had of about change in the actual fatalities of 4%, which is something that we're working very hard on during this financial year. However, in the platinum sector, we've seen a 24% reduction in terms of the fatalities that were reported between the 2011 and 2012. In the case of coal mines, we've seen an 8% reduction. And other mines, which will be diamonds and all other small mines, we've seen a 13% reduction in terms of the fatalities that were reported between 2011 and 12, and overall 123 fatalities that were reported in 2011 dropped to 112, which is reflects a 9% improvement in terms of overall fatality. This slide tries to show that between 2011 and 2012, in terms of the regions, we normally call our provinces regions, regional offices, where we've got our regional offices. In Gauteng province, we have seen that there was a reduction in terms, there was an increase in terms of the fatality from 29 to 31. In Klerksdorp, there was a decrease of 18%, Rustenburg 26%, Free State 29% decrease, Mpumalanga there was a 22% decrease. However, in Limpopo, unfortunately, we've seen an increase of 67%. In KZN, there was a decrease of 50%. In Northern Cape, the status of fatalities remained the same. And then in Western Cape, unfortunately, we also had an increase because we had two fatalities reported in 2012. And then in Eastern Cape, there were no changes in fatalities. This slide also just indicates that from where in 2012 and comparing to year to date, we have seen that although in the gold sector we have been struggling in the previous year, however, this year the gold sector has managed to reduce the fatalities by 22%. The platinum sector has reduced fatalities by 5%. Coal sector also reduced the fatalities by 38%. However, other mines, there was a slight increase from 11 to 12, and the total overall fatalities reported year to date, we have seen that 67 fatalities were reported by the end of September, as compared to 78 in the previous year, which then translates to a 14% in the overall fatality. When it comes to injuries, we have also seen some drop in terms of injuries in the gold sector of 34%, 4% in the platinum sector, 12% in the coal sector, 27% in other mines, and the overall decrease in the injuries when we compare year to date and the previous year, we have seen a 20% decrease in the overall injuries that were reported in the mining industry. The key challenges that the branch faces is still occupational safety. As you as we have highlighted earlier on in the earlier slide on issues of fatalities and injuries, which is still a concern for the department, and we believe that this financial year we had to work very hard to ensure that these figures go beyond below 100 figure as compared to 112 last year. The later slides will indicate the actions that we have taken. We also have challenges on occupational health, which is silicosis, TB, and noise-induced hearing loss. Again, we also have key challenges in the areas of skills development, as well as in the area of illegal mining. The corrective measures that the department has taken to address those key challenges is to monitor and compliance and implement enforcement measures where necessary, in line with the legislation and enforcement guidelines. We also encourage mines to implement measures to protect women's safety and security in the mining industry, as we have seen recently incidents where women's safety has been a challenge. And then we also arrange regional quarterly tripartite forums meetings where we share on health and safety information with the stakeholders to improve on health and safety. We monitor the implementation of 2011 permit commitments on elimination of fatalities and injuries, and also encourages mines to be more vigilant during the fourth quarter of the calendar year, because that's where normally we have most of our injuries and fatalities towards as we go towards the Christmas time. And then we have already sent out a news flash where we have also indicated to be more vigilant, and we also intend to have some campaigns where we can also just remind workers to be more vigilant so that they can be able to have time with their families when the year finishes. And then in terms of occupational health, we implement the strategy for enhancing the health and safety of workers, including TB, HIV and AIDS, and non-communicable diseases. We collaborate with partners in monitoring implementation of 2011 summit commitments on elimination of precursors and noise-induced hearing loss. And we also conduct verification of mine sampling on dust measurements and the results, so that we make sure that the results that we receive from the mine are accurate and they can give us a means of ensuring that we enforce compliance. In terms of the skills development, we collaborate with MQA to enhance skills development, including on arbitrage, bazaaries, artisan and jewelry making. The MQA has established offices in rural FT colleges in the province of Northern Cape, in the Free State, in the Mpumalanga, in the Northwest, Limpopo, as well as Eastern Cape. We started with these provinces because that's where normally the mining takes place, and then also taking into account that's where most of our mining employees come from. And we intend that in future, once we are fully established, and then we can also look in other provinces as well. We also implement the certificate of competency model examination model. And then in terms of illegal mining, the stakeholder forum established by the minister continue to implement to combat illegal mining activities in the respective provinces. The minister has convened a stakeholder meeting on site visits to draw public attention to the extent of illegal mining activities in the road network area, and to ensure that measures are implemented to ultimately eliminate illicit activities. And lastly, collaborate with the relevant law enforcement agencies to ensure that there is a national effort to combat these illegal activities.
Thank you and good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. As the DJ indicated, I'll be taking Honorable Members through Program 3, Mineral Regulation. The purpose of the program is to regulate the mineral and mining sector to ensure economic development, employment, and ensure transformation and environmental compliance, with an objective to transform the mineral and mining sector into one that competitively contributes to sustainable development. As outlined in our annual report, just to reflect some of the key challenges, so key achievements linked to the strategic objective of the promotion of job creation, we implemented 41 SMME development projects, which are located largely in rural areas where a lot of our mines are operating. We also implemented 94 local economic development projects that contribute to water sustainable job creation, where these mines are also located and operating. And around the strategic objective of implementation of transformation policies and legislation. The department continued with consultations and engagement with communities and held a number of industry workshops. During the period in respect of which we are reporting, there were also a number of 56 new mining projects that were then finalized and approved with the potential to create an additional 11,052 long-term coal mine jobs with a projected expenditure from the mine totaling in excess of 7.272 billion. And around the strategic objective of monitoring and enforcing compliance, we conducted various types of inspections in excess of the figure of 2,500, which was intended to deepen the extent of compliance. And on this slide, we just wanted to give a sense of the breakdown in terms of kinds of inspections, the clusters that we conducted of the various provinces or regions, as my colleague from my network. What would be important to also note is that when you look at this slide, you then will realize that we conducted a number of engagements and consultations in the Eastern Cape more than anywhere else, and the primary reason was also to deal with challenges of illegal mining as well as to empower and educate communities around our process. Then around the number of inspections, then gave a breakdown pay region of the province. Then indicate what the activities that the branch has been engaging in respect of those provinces. Next slide. And around the key achievements also in the area of socioeconomic development in the various provinces, the list is not exhaustive, but we just wanted to give honorable members a sense of what the branch and the department has been engaged in. If we were to look at the Free State, there have been a number of aligned to the social and labor plan. We finalized the implementation of a number of community infrastructure projects, which includes, as an example, a child development project in the form of a crèche in areas in Zambela in the Free State. And in the Northern Cape, we continued, and this is also drawing on the oversight reports of honorable members around intervention in the various communities of Schmidt Street, the Namakwa land, as well as the implementation of a number of bus infrastructure projects within Jomurolo municipality is one of the examples. And during the period of reporting, we also then implemented some new mining projects, including in the area of manganese. One example was the Kudumane mining project, which has great potential for job creation and injection of further investment into the Northern Cape economy. And in the Northwest, we then launched a number of infrastructure projects within the Bujanala district, which includes Rustenburg, in the form of schools, platinum housing projects. We then continued to provide strategic support to government implementation of the presidential package, which has identified a number of mining sites to be targeted and prioritized. And as the honorable members will recall, one of those involved crushing the area. We then continued to pay close attention to the challenges of Darwin and resolve a number of their issues, some which were reported to the honorable members around the rise and the community development. And with regard to KwaZulu-Natal, one important issue related to the establishment of a task force that has been doing work in respect of the challenges that we face in the Richards Bay area. And then one of the interventions there included the task force and then the intervention also of our Director General in assisting to stabilize the area and the implementation of a number of socio-economic development projects. And then of late, the recent one has been the launch of housing projects covering a number of the communities in the Richards Bay area. And in Mpumalanga, we also held a successful mining hodla in November 21st to comprise key stakeholders in the province. And those stakeholders also included the traditional leaders. It's very, very important to highlight and then to emphasize, as well as the civil society participants. The key outcome was that the quota was the signing of the pledge by stakeholders who committed to outside working together to also begin to tackle head-on challenges facing socio-economic development and the coordination of SLPs at an appropriate level. And as a result of that, a resolution of the was then taken, which got migrated into the amendment of the MPRD around coordination of SLPs at a district level, as well as strengthening consultation and participation of traditional leaders in mining on mining issues. In Limpopo, we also conducted several community engagements with traditional leaders, within, as an example, the Greater Sotho, to address ongoing mining and community conflicts. This also drawing on the program that the honorable members championed around engaging with communities in this area as part of the implementation, and also implement socio-economic development intervention in support of the presidential package, because Greater Sotho is one of the sites that have been identified within the greater within the presidential package. And in Gauteng, we, during the period of reporting, launched a number of socio-economic projects, as well as approval of some clay, gold, and gravel mining projects. Within the Western Cape, working with the provincial government and the city of Cape Town, we continue to address challenges relating to land use provincial ordinance, which require the rezoning of land for alternative use if mining is going to take place. And then in the Eastern Cape, we fast-tracked the implementation of a number of social and labor plan projects, as an example in the Bizana area, which is the labor planning area, which ultimately got launched by the president during this month, as well as other projects within the areas of the border, because the Eastern Cape, within the mining space, is one of those labor centers. And as a department, we continue to work with various stakeholders in the mining industry to avoid job losses. Now, around the implementation of the strategy on growth and sustainable transformation of the mining industry, in the area of streamlining of administrative processes, drawing on lessons and challenges that were identified in the report, honorable members would recall that in April 2011, after the moratorium commission, we commissioned the SAMRAD, which is an online application system, with a view of ensuring transparency and accountability in decision making by workers. One of the major issues to point out is that the development of the system is ongoing and is critical to strategic resource management in the country. There have been improvements and there are some challenges that are identified, and these are being addressed on an ongoing basis. The system was initially launched as an application platform and got upgraded to include over time application modules for mining rights, ancillary applications, which are your Section 11 application. This is the one that is normally used for transacting and or session or selling portion of or the entire right to a third party or other party. Section 102, which in simple terms relates to addition of a commodity or a mineral and or a property onto an existing right, etc. Then furthermore, with regard to the system of SAMRAD, the system, since its implementation, has been assisted in addressing some of the critical risks that were identified that bordered on questioning the integrity of the regulatory framework and perceptions of impropriety. And one of those were perceptions of tampering with records, which was another area of contestation by officials, as well as the order of receipt of applications. In terms of the current construct of the MPRDA, in Section 9, there is a provision for first in line in the processing of applications. It became an area of contestation at the time, because there were instances where others would argue that my application came first and so on and so forth. But the system has cured that. And the other one was around land availability, where in the past it used to be a bit of a challenge, but in the SAMRAT online system, land availability has not been addressed. Because at the point of application, issues around land availability are attended to. Then the other positive has been modules to enable project management on the area of resources management, as well as project management of the entire permit or a right. These are some of the inbuilt mechanisms that we're working on. And as one of the challenges, there are some challenges that are reported and open some of the small operators who might be located in remote areas who may not have access to some of the modern day technology. We continue to work on this, and one area also has been effective use of our regional offices, where we had to have standalone computers that can be made available to members of the public, community, as well as continuous workshops and empowerment of communities around the mining and licensing. As the high level strategic challenges, there's a need for us to continue to work on the capacity, both the human as well as the infrastructure, including the systems that we're utilizing, for purpose of ensuring that there is increased compliance by right holders, including operating mines. The second strategic challenge is around the global economic challenge and the industrial relation challenges that have resulted in fewer jobs being created. On the global economic challenge, we then see it in the reduction in the number of potential new projects that should be coming online because of scarcity of capital. And the other challenge is around a few applications that are received from HDSA, Historical Development South African Control Entity, due to some of the barriers that they are facing around areas of funding, as an example. Now, as the corrective measures, one around strengthening capacity, we put in place the mechanisms to strengthen capacity at our regional offices to ensure that there is an increase in strengthened enforcement and monitoring of compliance in the area of social and labor plans, mine economic transformation components, including board monitoring and evaluation units that need to be established. And the second corrective measure is around further development of SAMRAT to improve its efficiency, which should include alignment with other IT systems, including revenue management and statistics collection. And the third corrective measure is around increasing the rate of enforcement and compliance inspections and impose extra notices where companies are found to be non-compliant. And the other one is create capacity in anticipation to implement the integrated licensing system in respect mining, environment and water authorization to improve ease of doing business in Zimbabwe. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. I will take you through program 4, which is mineral policy promotion. The purpose of this program is to formulate mineral related policies that promote the mining and mineral industry of South Africa to ensure that we attract investment. The objective is through research to provide relevant information to enhance global competitiveness, review policies and formulate legislation for cheap transformation and attract new investment into the South African mineral industry. What are the key achievements in the branch? We have been working on the MPRCA, you're probably aware of it. We drafted the MPRCA during this current year. We cabinet and the MPRCA now in parliament. And my health agency also worked on it, we drafted it, and we submitted it to cabinet 3 weeks ago to promote investment in the mining sector. We worked on starting a technical partnership, which includes signing an MOU group metal and continuation of promotional activities application. We also engaged in the streamlining of licensing processes This is basically to ensure that they improve the ease of doing business when it comes to my home. So the three departments have been working on this streamlining: the Department of Mineral Resources, Department of Environmental Affairs, and the Department of Water. This is part of the amendments of the MPRBA laws. We also established a partner task team to do the report, respond on challenges facing the sector, and adaptation solutions to investment. In terms of promoting sustainable resource use and management, we completed 13 direct demand of money and completed a strategy to manage my resources. And also, a very important project which we embarked on was to construct a canal which basically aiming at decreasing the amount of water which ingress into the gold mine. And this is basically to control acid mine drainage, which is taking place in some of the gold mines around Gauteng. But the key challenges in this branch around issue of skills, and I think Honorable Member discussed across the whole department, all the branches, they experience this issue of retaining skills, attracting skills. And the heart of this is largely related to the environment which the department is corrective measure with collaborating with human resources and industry to introduce innovative tools to development programs and also attract management capabilities. Concluding remarks, the department assisted by the audit committee will monitor closely the implementation of the management action plan which we have developed. We have developed an action plan presented to our audit committee, and we also held a workshop. In addition to the problem that has been highlighted, there are other projects that the department is involved in to pursue the government and national project. So this project includes initiatives to stabilize the mining industry. There have been a number of initiatives that the department has been involved in. There was one in the major one, which is led by the Deputy President, we also participate in a presidential package process. In our area, we were looking at the issues relating to the living, public living conditions of mining, and improving socioeconomic conditions of the mining community. We also have a very important project of which the department has been engaged with more shale gas. A report was put together on shale gas, which assessed the potential of shale gas in the country, and also looked at the risks which are associated with shale gas exploitation. Following that report, we were then requested by cabinet that we should augment the regulatory framework in terms of shale gas exploitation. This was done. The regulation was completed, submitted to cabinet during this year, and they have been posted, gazetted, and they are available for people to comment. Also involved in the process of coal resource reserve studies, a very important project for the country. We also need to know what we in terms of coal in the country. So that is a very critical one. The critical project in South Africa. We're also involved in the key money process, where in the previous year we were vice chair. This current year we are now the chair of the key money process. We will be hosting a plenary next week. Preparation to host the International Geological Congress are underway. This is a very, very important project for the country. This conference will be held in 2016. It is often regarded as the World Cup of Geology. We will be coming to South Africa in 2016. we hold a successful congress. The department would like to thank honorable members for bringing to our attention issues which you encountered during your oversight visit, and we'd like to assure honorable members that we will continue to receive these issues, will continue to receive our priority in terms of our activity. Thank you.
DG, was a surprise for you. There's a coup right now. Taken over. Another member, the progressive suggestion that we have 5-10 minutes break from the tea, so that we have tea and tea, not as iced tea. Then we can resume. Then I'm sure the chair will be back by then. You know, there are new things happening. There are deployments even right now, so it could be called anytime. So it's based on another important call. So let's take a 5-minute break. Let's have tea and caucus on what you are presenting us as members, so that when you come back, we ready to deal with you in a very nice way. Let's take a 5-minute break.
But we didn't have to do that in the past, so I think it won't happen now. Honourable members, over to you. Questions? I know that Honourable Sinclair said that they are finished, there's no questions, the report was very good. Is that still the same? Situation still the same, Honourable Sinclair?
There were a number of issues that came up when you left the room, Chairperson.
So it's resolved?
No, so I want to ask this.
You want to ask this? Oh, I thought you said it's resolved. Okay, Honourable Sinclair, Honourable Kali, Honourable Guni. In that order. Honourable Sinclair.
Yes, Chairperson, let me start with one of the last issues that was raised by the DG, and that's the regulations on fracking, which hopefully will give us greater clarity in terms of the process that will be followed. To further consider and enhance the fracking in the Karoo Basin. Now the critical question is, what is the time frames attached to the regulations? It's been published, but what is the time frames and the next process that would make it possible for our players to engage on that? That is the first issue. Then, Chair, the other issue is the one that's reflected in the annual report, and I want to thank the research unit for the work that they've done. But of great concern, and that is, I suppose, directed to the Chief Financial Officer, but also to the DG in his capacity as Accounting Officer, that there was, according to the Auditor General, the DMR does not have an adequate system to manage and value receivables for departmental revenue. And I suppose that's part of the disclaimer that they got. But of great concern is that the amount of almost 151 million rand was misstated, and that revenue was received as royalties and prospecting fees. Now, how is it possible that the department doesn't have financial system to represent that revenue that's received in a proper and acceptable manner in the property required. Yeah, then Chair, the old issue that I've raised, and I suppose our term of office will be finished and will still be the same, is the issue about a satellite office, satellite offices in the Northern Cape. You know the area as good and as well as I do. And I still maintain that the area around Katoo can certainly have a satellite office. It will just make it easier for applicants to deal with applications, albeit that many of the applications can be submitted these days in an online fashion and so on. Then the last issue, Chairperson, is the issue about coal. The DG in his closing remarks referred to that report, that strategic report. Now, I know government has got a very strong drive to label coal, if you like, as a strategic resource. Is that report available, or is it still a report that will be submitted to Cabinet, and after that, it naturally will come out in public? So thank you, Chair. That's my question.
Thanks, Chair. Just three short questions. The first one is in relation to the mapping. Last year or year before last, the DG informed us, the planning informed us last year, the Georgia Service, South Africa, started mapping the countries that year. Become more investor friendly for them, the area is made. And the better the investors they can spend their money to exercise the prospect. So you can report them where the mineral or where the sources are. Not the president. Then you find out how far is the process so far. And the link to that is what is it? Department said. Or take on the issue of mineral resource name initiative that is campaigned by the EU, European Union, for their supply of resources. And they are aiming at South Africa, that South Africa, as a result of marijuana, they are looking at perhaps restricting some of the minerals in Africa and South Africa especially because of human rights issues. The mineral resource initiative that is the campaign pushed by the EU. On the report as well, they said that there are more mines now, from 900 to 1,500. But the increase of the mine, but the department is saying that there's also a non-compliance of mines for the environment. Most of the mines are complying to the environmental or to the clean environment. Now, with the existing unlicensed relative mines, how is the department seeing it combating this increase of non-compliance of the mines? Because which means in the future we have more unlicensed relative mines, relative mine drainage. What to face with in the future. But the important thing is to make sure that these mines are compliant. The last one, Chairperson, is the issue of the 2014 deadline on the public issue that 6% of the mine by 2014 should be going to historical sensitive people or fiscally threat. How far is the department in the target of 26% by 2014? We're not talking of the management in the opposition, but we're talking of ownership. Can that be updated on how far is the issue? Probably that 10% is not to find out if can we have access to the tracking reports that from the system, what it would be in the policy on that.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. Let me first thank the presenter for doing this good job for us. I have a serious problem, Chairperson. 2 weeks back, we had a provincial workshop of the traditional leaders, the cultural government with traditional leaders. And on Sunday, we had a general workshop of the Contra Lesa Youth Week, and the report says the conflict has been resolved as one of their key achievements. And I want to tell the department that it's not true. The traditional leaders, especially around Sukule area, they are still having this serious problem. And now they are rushing to whoever is coming to the area and telling them that what they can do is to nationalize the mines. If ever the mines are to be closed, then it will be good for them. And this is a very serious problem. I don't know what the team is doing in order to give the department this report, because this is not true. And the people are really having a very serious problem. And now the traditional leaders decided to just let everybody to do as they wish. Maybe the department must go and visit the area. The only mines where the people are happy is the mines whereby they've been run by the Motsepe Foundation. It's the only person who is trying to solve all the problems with the traditional leaders. But with the other mines, really, it is a problem. Maybe I must repeat it. The department should make sure that they go to the people area and visit the mines and talk to the people. Because at the moment, hey, they can still respect. The other one, I want to check with the department on the total accident that fatality and injury rate. They are saying that they managed to reach 73%. I just want to know what is it that can be done in order to at least reach 90% or 100%. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair and honourable members, and thanks, DG, and your delegation. DG, in the entire government, there are four departments I used to like. Now there are three. The fourth one is only that it has got a very good human resources DDG. That's the only threat that is left. Otherwise, it falls outside. So I'm going to be honest, you know. On the questions that have been asked, more especially about the number of mines, 900 to 16 something, how many numbers, if you can, have the HDIs benefited? Now, if you take the difference, if you cannot give us today, I'd like to have that list. From that 900 pre-94 to 2013, March, spread the mines, the new mines per province, and say this one is owned by Dlamini, this one is Zulu, and so on. I would like to have that, that report. If it's one person, it's a Dlamini, who's duplicating or triplicating the ownership of mine, it must be so. Maybe next week, I'm sure I'll be ready to have that report in that detailed form. The other one, still, it deals with the issue of transformation. You know, the AG has highlighted the issue of transformation in the department. And we cannot, after 20 years, still be talking about transformation. I don't know whether you will comment on this. But the issue of the MPRDA, which really relates to the department's ability to transform, and we're not achieving this thing. If you could give us a response that would say, you know, this can be done this at this time, because we cannot go on forever about this transformation. I don't want to ask if people are then getting performance bonuses with such an adverse opinion on transformation. I wanted to ask who are the social partners, because sometimes you only refer to them as whether it's workers and business and so on and other, and you really forget the rural areas where you really need these things, that you should expand your social partners net, so that when you engage, you don't only deal with the tripartite that you deal with. There is also a request that you submit by next week a list of the 41 SMMEs projects, that is per province and per owner, as it was reported. Also the 94 LED projects. These days I'm getting these reports from all departments. So just apply to me or to the committee, but I personally want that thing. On the issue that was reported in KwaZulu-Natal about RBM, I want to place on record that I reserve comment. On the finding by the AG on program 3, which is the same thing on the transformation, of ask this question that you could really comment. Now the last one, which has made me no longer to like the department, if I'm honest, as one of the four departments. Last year, or early this year, I brought to the department a young girl from Limpopo who needed a puzzle, Mawope. I was studying at the University of Johannesburg, geology, extractive geology. The department could not help her. I even approached the minister. She could not be helped. I then approached DTI, the department that I chair. She was given a bursary. Now, the line function department that deals with this thing cannot assist the girl dealing with the scarce kids. And another sister department just asked to start to say this girl is doing well. Even now its school is doing well. I'm really going to write a letter to the minister for this issue and the deputy minister. And fortunately both of them know about this issue. That it is really not on. You know, young people there outside look at us and say, at least if we approach members of parliament, these are young people who are progressive, and we try and take them to the relevant department and they cannot be assisted. This has been non-performance to me on the part of the department on this issue. But I have, however, said to the lady, when you get your distinctions and you pass and you want some work, we'll assist you to get some work in the department as a way of saying, even though I'm not a teacher, the country needs you still. Thanks, Chair.
So thank you, Uncle. I think in the interest of time, which I will forward my questions to you, but in the interest of time, let me give you time to respond to these questions.
Honorable Chair, Honorable taking note of the question, start with the question around regulation on fracking. What is the process? What has happened now is we have directed the regulation that we have taken now. This will be for 30 days, whereby we will be receiving comments from the public. Once we have received those comments, we will then incorporate the comments into the regulation and finalize those regulations. But there will also be a process of consultation, which the minister will lead in terms of consultation and taking the process forward. But I think what will be critical is we need to await the final product once we have incorporated the comments of those people in the regard. issue of receivable certainly we have noted that it is a projection, that FIBA is a projection which has been protected by the protecting of the deep state university and the peak. What is important is that we have looked at this and take the situation and we have developed a detailed action plan. And that the action plan was discussed with the our audit committee and we are now currently implementing. We have even held the workshop. It's about ensuring that consistency is strengthened and some of the issues are really the legacy of the past, you know, in terms of the rarities. Currently the rarities in terms of the new order banks are now being managed by some. And the intention is to hand over the new rarities to that process. We hope will be concluded during this current financial year. So that's the competition in terms of the rarities. The other issue which was raised on the beginning on the issue around netting. Okay, before the code report, we didn't talk about the code report. The code report still has to go to cabinet, and the once it gets going to cabinet, and made available as the public document. Then the shale gas report, it goes to cabinet, and it is available on our website. You can forward the report to you. In the form of a hard copy or a soft copy can forward to what you see on the website. In terms of remitting of South Africa, certainly if you look at the situation in South Africa, we have to upgrade the geological infrastructure. We need to modernize it so that we can compete with other countries which are involved in the region. And this government has realized that, look, let's modernize the country in terms of mapping. And this mapping is subdivided into three forms. We do geological mapping itself, we do geochemistry, we do geophysics. And the Council for Future Science has been given additional funding to kickstart this process of remapping the country and modernizing the geoscientific infrastructure of the country. And I think it will change the face of mining in South Africa if this project can be given support. That is what we think of. We have seen countries like Namibia, they are also involved in it. Countries like Mozambique are also involved. But all countries are modernizing their geological infrastructure. It's new technology. It's important that we also bring in that environment if we want to discover new minerals in the country. And I think the process is going quite well. They will need additional funding. Government will need to continuously support them when it comes to that matter. The issues of EU containing, I think this whole issue is around security of supply for minerals. The whole world is looking at, be it EU, be it Asia, be it China, Japan, all countries are looking at the minerals. How can we secure this mineral in terms of our strategic development, in terms of manufacturing, in terms of developing the economy? And I think even in South Africa, we are now realize that it's quite important that issues around the strategic minerals, if you look at the APRDA, the current amendments which are currently with Parliament, they are trying to address this issue of security of supply. So important. I mean, for coal, we talked about coal. Coal is a very important mineral resource for South Africa. We have to find a way of ensuring that we strategically protect that resource. So it's an issue which all countries are looking for. And it is important that South Africa also looks at that. still touched on the issue of ownership and the remnant money. And the ownership and the remnant is a historic matter, the legacy of the past, the legacy of over 100 years of mining in South Africa. But now we have got new laws. Government has given it. You can't just abandon the mine in that. Doesn't happen. You've got to get a closure certificate. That is the reason. So we will not have ownerless independent management. People have got to come with a closure certificate to ensure that. But I think it's important that we realize that it's a very important matter. Because if we don't ensure that closure certificates are there, people will then shift their liability to government. Programs for future generations. On the issue of transformation and also the 24 what we have done, we have started with the process of assessing the current transformation in the mining industry. We have appointed a company which is being assisting us in this anticipation of ensuring that by 2014 we should be having good statistical information. here is the information. Here is hard information in front of us. Then we show the world of the beginning of South Africa and say this is transformation in the mining industry. And the process is going well. We are confident that we will be able to provide that information. It has not been an easy process to transform the mining industry. Even the NPRDA amendments are still trying to transform the industry. And not only from ownership only, but to also look at the beneficiation of South Africa's mineral resources is also part of transformation. And also the issue of ensuring that the state plays a role, especially in terms of petroleum resources, in terms of oil and gas. All those issues which are currently being discussed in terms of the NPRC are still part of the package of transforming this industry and ensuring that the people of South Africa can benefit. I'm confident that next year we'll be able to come with that information. In terms of our chapter, I agree that by 2014 we'll be here. This is the information, then from there we can then take appropriate action when it comes to that. On the issue of another word, Khaled mentioned the issue of recruitment. I will ask the DDG rapidly to discuss it. In the way it was captured there is that we have engaged with the people of and he's the person who is involved in that. So I'll ask him to explain that.
Thank you, DG. When would like to speak with you? Obviously, we've been having a number and continue to have a number of engagements with the traditional leaders within the area, as well as the various operating mines, including other stakeholders, and then maybe just to respond directly to the question that was then, or comment that was then around the need for us to be specific when we talk about stakeholders. In this case, there will be areas such as the honorable member would call within the Mandasuk area where you do have some activity who then constitute themselves into a committee. Because they needed that specific issues to be attended to, and that is one of the stakeholders that I'm referring to when I'm talking about school, as well as the business people from the area of school. We have had a number of engagements, and the issues relating to school or greater school as a whole are not concluded.
obviously there are challenges pertaining to the extent to which mines in the area have been contributing and are impacting on the lives of the communities in the area. And there are a number of interventions that we have put in place to attend to the issues as they are flagged within the area of Kukuli. And then in the recent past, around June, July, there were also challenges pertaining to instability at some of the operations where we had what was beginning to mirror what happened with Barikana, beginning to also take place in the area around some of the assaults, intimidations, and so on in the field for itself. And as a department, we also made interventions aimed at ensuring that working with the law enforcement agency, a forum called the Mine Crime Combating Forum was ultimately established, and the police moved in and they began to effect some arrests against those who were perpetrating acts that they are thought to stabilize the area. The engagement that we have really been having with the community, also drawing on the various inputs from the various traditional leaders in the area. As honorable members also recall that the area of Sukuna also has a traditional leadership structure. We do have a significant number of traditional leaders within the area of the greater Sukuna. And in terms of the engagement that we've been having, we've been having various sessions with the various traditional leaders, as well as the community and the operating mine. We also are aware that there is a need also for us to continue to have this engagement, but in a manner that begins to provide, so to put it in a way that there's respect to the traditional leader. Because one of the challenges that we identified in that area has been the mushrooming of various community structures, tasking, distrusting that sometimes that's supposed to undermine the authority of traditional leaders in the area. And working with the provincial department responsible for traditional leaders, as well as the premier office in the Popo, there have been some initiatives and interventions that we have made. But admittedly, the challenge requires serious focus, and we've noted what the honorable member has been saying with regard to the concern that has been raised with regard to session held with contractors, and those need to be factored into our intervention going forward. And even at the level of our minister working through the with the premier in the province, there have been requests for us to even go and have sessions in the House of Traditional as a way of us beginning to be assisted so that we can bear some of the issues, especially around the pending issues or outstanding issues related to traditional leadership, because it was identified as one of the challenges that often stands in the way of some of the interventions that we're doing. At the coordination of social labor plan level, we've held meetings with mine operating in the area to begin to get them to better coordinate a response and of their social labor plan, also working with the municipalities as well as the provincial government, so that when we have a consolidated proposal, we are going to now have follow-up sessions with the House of Traditional Leaders as well as traditional leaders operating in the area, so that we can begin to streamline our intervention in addressing issues within the country. But we are admitting that the issue requires serious focus on the process, and then it hasn't escaped our readers.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. This actually touches on the issue Honorable Gamendi mentioned of social partners. You know, secondly, traditionally when you talk about social partners, you're talking about the tripartite limitations. But the Minister has actually, you know, initiated a process where we have to go down to the ground, that's why we even held this Mpumalanga mining movement, whereby we called all stakeholders, so the traditional leaders, the provincial government was there, and some people were there, to ensure that this whole social partnership, you know, touches the people, that touches everybody, and that is the approach which currently the minister is having. I agree with you that when the past we need to come out with the tripartite, to talk about the Chamber of Mines, to talk about organized labor, but it needs a different approach, and we have initiated that approach that is right now. The minister wants to this to be also help with mining, so that you also help with other communities, so that we can engage and ensure that traditional leaders are part of the process. Without involving traditional leaders, we always have a chance for that to be interesting. So if we start to think at touch on the issue of transformation, and I said we are currently engaged with the assessment. Performance in terms of transformation, in terms of this organization issue, in things that we can have, and we are quite sure that by next year we will be in control, be able to provide this. That for the time people say, when we go to conferences, people review the statistics. Before here, people come with a different information, but we say that look, we will come with real credible information through this process which we have started in the department. Because these schemes are so complex. People say to you, I've got VE, I've got 26%. Once you start to unpack it, it's something else, probably 1%. Because they've got schemes, these companies holding this one there, this one, they become so complex. But the process which we have put in place, I'm sure, this whole thing to hear the situation in South Africa when it comes to transformation. We need to transform the industry. I think the minister talks about it and she really tries to. And once we have looked at it, everybody in the industry, especially when it comes to public sector, they are part of the charter. They have got to deliver in terms of the agreement, in terms of the charter. If people are not going to comply, we have to use the stick. We have to use the stick. It even touches on the issue of general complying with the NPR. You know, you probably don't remember sometimes here people criticizing the department when we implement Section 54 in terms of mine health and safety. Sometimes the mines are stopped. That's when we use the stick. The statistics there, they talk for themselves. You can see the fatalities are dropping. You can see that injuries are dropping. This is hardcore information. And it's because we have intensified inspection for we are doing it in terms of environmental issues. There are certain areas where we need to strengthen inspection and compliance. Because a lot of people can only listen to it. I can give you an example. Information with regards to people submitting annual reports. Our staff to inform submit information, provide us with the statistics. Yeah. And some people just dismiss. But once we start to inform them, and they know that we have been using this carrot thing, please give us information, give us information, give us that. But what we are going to be doing as the department, we are going to enforce control. So, in terms of the law, mining companies must submit information to us. Most of the big companies do. Sometimes I think the challenge is to come to small companies, but we need to ensure that we also inform the law so that people can. On the young girl, I don't remember. I think we can assist, and we do assist. And I can assure you, if she does well, we will certainly explore ways of assisting her. We do assist people, we are committed to assist people, especially children. We do it not only in the department, we also do it through other institutions which are associated with the department. Or if, since the geography, I'm sure there will be opportunity at the campus of the geography. In fact, if she's studying geology, the best place for her is to be at the campus of the geography, where she can interact with scientists and study the real geological environment and be part of it. And I'm sure if she does well, we will see if there is an opportunity for her in the campus of the geography. And I will interact with you on that matter. On social and labor plan issues, I think that is around capacity to enforce compliance. So now I've talked about it, and the minister has actually ordered a process in the department where he said, let's look at the capacity of the department. How can we enforce it? How can we reposition this department? And one of the areas which you have looked at is to say, let's look at strengthening the inspection, monitoring the inspection of the department. That is where we need to strengthen the department. And in a few months, I think we will be, we can communicate with you about the process, because we started the process of looking at it, we are interacting with the National Treasurer on the matter, interacting with public service administration on the matter. It's not an easy process, but once we have something, we will address the issues of social and labor health. If you look at the industry has grown. But when you look at the department itself, we haven't grown as much as the industry is growing, I mean, in terms of the number of lines is increased. But the department itself is a small department. That's actually poses some challenges. But I believe the repositioning of the department to address issues of capacity will go a long way. I think I've covered the issues of honorable chair. I'm looking for the issues which have been covered.
Okay, very much. Has all your issues been covered? Yes. There's verbal time for a second now. Honorable Khari.
Yeah, Chester, I'm thanking for the response I got from the department. But I want to volunteer to give them the provincial chapters and contact, because if these issues are not being taken care of, they are daily missing. So that they must just go and right away contact him and make sure that they have a meeting with the treatment. Because when we talk about Mother of Sugar, I know that's where she offered the space. And that's the line that has been run by Mopipe. I refer to that as that's where the real issue, because they're taking care of the community and also the traditional issues. But with the other mind is important. But I'm happy that they have admitted, I'll give them the contact person of the chairperson of the traditional leader in the province. Thank you.
All right.
Honorable
Greg?
Thank you, Honorable
Chair.
I'm just looking here. That's it. People always say when you say you're not a racist, then you are racist. But I want to say I'm not a racist. That is the background of my approach. But the chairperson, there's an issue that's been of concern to me over time in this department. And that at least the people that we see here, we're not representative of the society that we represent. And also in terms of the research that's been done, there's issues in terms of the representativity of other sectors of our society. What is the department doing to address it?
Thanks,
Chair.
in my constituency, specifically Virginia, about 3-4 years ago, there used to be a beneficiation an entrepreneur by name of Bayadora. They used to make African design rings and chains, jewelry with gold and with diamonds and so on. But it seems closed down. When I ask around, I'm not sure, but you know, they ran out of gold and stuff like that. Well, to some extent, some of the things like that. But I don't find out in terms of this circuit of supply to ensure that there's beneficiation in the industry. Is there any regulation or policy as far as gold mining is concerned that the present percentage mined from South Africa will remain South Africa to benefit it without being a pure thing just for purification?
I want to link to that question in a broader perspective, and that is what's happening with the mineral beneficiation program. How far is that developed? What is the progress? Because in a different capacity, we're busy with the special economic zone bill at the moment, and there's a lot of emphasis on mineral beneficiation. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I think there is still one outstanding method is that protocol method teaching. The last was the list of owners and generic mines. What's happening with it? How far department of progress of it? Because the last time you were supposed to have 3 departments, you were not ready. So when will the department be ready? And how soon can we get a progress report on that? Over to you, DJ.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Minister. And the issue of the intention of the democratic of South Africa, we have taken a look at the things that we can develop and think about getting it back. And I can assure you we are working hard on that, and we will ensure that with other community, people from other communities, especially colored in India. The DDG corporate president will be making hard and in fact thinking the last month we had some success. So we will work hard on it so that we represent the democracy. Perhaps we move from the extreme left to the extreme right. I think maybe in the past, if you remember the Department of Minerals and Energy, it was all white, we were 99.9%, and we had to transform it. Yes, we're transforming it, we need to bring other communities. And we are working out on that. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you it's not easy,
mm-hmm.
But we will win when it comes to that.
Not Chinese are not.
But I know the point which you are referring to. We work hard on it. It's about ensuring that we have colors, ensuring that we have in the department. You want to comment on that?
Yes, and the strategy has now been to advertise in the regional papers in those areas, where if you're targeting colors for that particular post, we don't advertise nationally. So hopefully, that's a strategy we think we can attract. So that whatever applications we get, it comes from those regions.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
noted.
One committee was noted, the other committee.
So even white mice.
We have enough of them.
No, truly challenging to say to the list. If you have in your comment, just related to the latest court case here in the Western Cape, are you going to comply with the department? More especially in the Western Cape.
I'm looking for election material, so give me a message for election.
Which court case is it?
Yeah, there was a court case
for the correctional
services.
Oh.
Where the labor court has now made a judgment or a ruling to say that regional demographics must also be taken into account.
Yes.
So you will comply?
Yes, we're trying to comply.
So we'll send. So that's the election message I can say. ANC caters for everybody.
That's too late.
That's the message.
On the issue of beneficiation, and when you look at beneficiation, there are two issues at the heart of beneficiation. Access to the product, that is access to the mineral. If you don't have you will not win. That is why you see countries like Japan, countries like China, they're all over looking for minerals. Why? You need to have access to minerals. That is the fundamental issue. And how are we addressing it? If you look at the current amendment, the NPRC, Section 26, is addressing this. Whereby it states that a portion of production should be made available for local beneficiaries. And this is the heart of the discussion currently taking place, where some people who are against transformation are saying, no, this is too much, this Section 26 issue, the problem. But that is the heart of beneficiaries. If we want to secure the future of the country in terms of manufacturing, in terms of downstream mineral production, we have to ensure that we have access to mineral resources. Because you can have these minerals. People come and mine and enter into contract. Now, people can't set access to South Africa because they've got long-term contracts with other people in other countries, in Europe, in Asia. So these minerals will only benefit you in terms of exporting, but not in terms of manufacturing and creating downstream opportunities for the people. That is very important. And not only in terms of hardware, but also in terms of petroleum oil and gas. It's so important to be able to access oil and gas to ensure that we develop the industry. That is very important. I think that's a discussion about petroleum and migration. That is very important. Other issue, the issue of crime, okay? And that is an issue which is also in the current amendment. People are talking about it, thinking about it, and let's see how it can go. But it's also important that people can be able to buy near with South Africa at a time which can enable them to establish that is very, very important. So the current amendments which are in parliament are very critical for the future of the institution. That is how we see it. But we are also working on what we call the institution, which we really can bring to administration. Document then be published. On the issue of governance and organic mining, we have engaged an actual scientist to look at this matter and quantify the value. If you Remember, in the past, the department used to start in terms of identifying the liability. What is the liability in terms of the and we have not solved this yet. In fact, the Auditor General commended us again last week at the PPC, but you know, the department has been really achieved in terms of the money. It's no longer an issue. We have resolved it, and they are happy with the methodology which we are following. We can provide to you the report.
Okay.
Well,
thanks. The reason why I posed the question, you know, the mining is not a provincial competence, it's a national competence. But with the tagging of the MPRD able to a section 76, which then takes over a provincial, tag then to a provincial competence in terms of section 76 of the constitution, I think delegates will have to go and brief the provinces on the MPRD able, and questions like that will come up during that briefing on the vote. No, thank you very much, Director General. I think someone was trying to send you a message, a voice message, to say that time is up or that. The some of us have to go. There's other engagements. Did you any parting shot for you?
I can only say that really I would like to thank you for your time, for the advice you teach for the meetings like this help us also, because they give us direction, they point out areas which we need to focus on, and I can assure you, Honorable Members, that we will address issues which you have highlighted today and come back to you. To you, you point out on this issue, and this is how we are addressing this issue. I thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the report next week, as well as the interaction with the traditional leaders, is very important. Thank you, members. The action, interaction with the traditional leaders is very important. I just want to read the report of the Select Committee on Economic Development, Annual Report 2012-2013, Department of Mineral Resources, dated 22nd October 2013. Select Committee on Economic Development, having considered Annual Report of the Department of Mineral Resources, 2012-2013 financial year, reports that it has concluded its deliberations there. Report to be considered. In the house, that will be in the house. Members, department, I'm not sure whether we will, we will still meet up with each other, still have deliberations on the NPRDA. I'm not sure whether it will still be this year, because it's still before the PPC. That's a fact, not the PPC, it's the PPC. There's no parliament portfolio committee. In terms of the constitution, it's the portfolio committee. Rules of Parliament, the Portfolio Committee of Parliament, of the National Assembly, sorry, not even of Parliament, of the National Assembly. Parliament consists of two houses. Before we can say Parliament, it has to be the two houses, National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. That constitutes Parliament. You know, when I talk to people, they always say to me, DGs, DDGs, and all that. No, we are at Parliament. We're going to brief the committee at Parliament. So, but in future, it consists of Parliament, 2 hours. There's a National Council of Provinces, which also got as much say as the Portfolio Committee. As a fact, more say. Because if we don't convince our provinces in terms of the MPRDA to support stuff like that. But be that as it may, I don't think we will meet up this year. Grace, no. So DG and your staff, you must please have a very joyous festive season. Spend. And you got the committees addressed. we can forward all the Christmas presents to her, or get the members, get the members' addresses and that, and forward the Christmas presents to them. The other thing is, spend a joyous festive season with your family, and please, if you have got other side attractions, leave that over the festive season. That takes just more money. And whatever you do, don't overdo it, just do it over. Just enjoy it and do it over. Lunch has been provided, so you are welcome to join us for lunch. There is a meeting still happening with some of the members at Parliament, which we need to attend at 1. But those that does not attend that meeting, please stay for lunch and enjoy lunch. Everyone is welcome. We are inviting everyone. In actual fact, we are ordering everyone. But let me be democratic, honorable consent, say we are inviting everyone to lunch. So please, otherwise, we'll call DMR or we'll call PMG. One of the two. So everyone is in that of us. This meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much. Yeah.